Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullip, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, June 10th, 2021. How about that?
How about that?
Here we are.
It's 66.
Week 66?
Yeah.
Like the route?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever driven down Route 66?
We'll get confirmation of that. I have probably bits and pieces of it because, of course, I-40 is kind of mirrors it.
Right.
Some spots,
right,
which cuts through our fine state.
It's got a lot of weird roadside attractions, but it's mostly like, you know, a vast expanse of nothingness.
65. Uh-oh. Are you sure?
No, I know. Well, I trust.
I would trust.
I trust the listeners.
The internet. Yeah. Well, with this. Our, yeah. Who's been tracking this? As I said, right, I picture that she just carves into the wall of her kitchen every week like she's in jail.
It's such a dark image.
And keeps track of it.
Yeah.
And then, well, as soon as this is over, she's going to remodel the kitchen.
That'll happen. Restucco it or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so 65 is what we're saying.
Okay.
Officially.
Yeah.
Okay. We can retire. There you go.
Can everybody. We start drawing on
get
Social
Medicaid
Security
or something? Can we? Right?
Yeah.
Something. Anyway, welcome everybody. We are glad that you are with us on week 65 of our COVID-19 Community Information Program. We are here as a community service, of course, to provide local information about COVID-19, and we have some great guests lined up today, including local pharmacist.
That's right, Craig.
Craig Burgess is going to be joining us here in just a moment, and also more news about rental assistance in New Mexico from the New Mexico Department of Finance and Administration. So Henry Valdez will be calling in as well to give us an update on that. So still, you know, good information to share, and so we're glad to be here to share it with you. But we should also, I guess, state that this show is probably going to go away.
That's right. This is the penultimate show right here today.
Is it?
Yep, that means the
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means it's the one before the last.
Oh,
so
yeah, next week. Then,
next week is the last show.
The last show of our COVID-19 show. But we have something else up our sleeves, although you are not wearing sleeves today, so I guess you showed me.
I did.
After last week.
I'm pretty casual today.
Pretty casual, but that's okay.
See the farmer's tan.
Right.
Yeah.
But we've got something in the works, everybody. And certainly, you know, we want to stress that COVID isn't going away, even though this show maybe will be going away next week. It'll be our last show. But we'll continue to share important information on our Facebook page and our website at KSJE to share whatever we need to share about COVID. And if there is another outbreak or something, we'll come back with a special show. It doesn't mean that we're not going to ever talk about it again. As much as I would love to maybe move on from COVID, if it's still around, it's still going to be on a show maybe in the future.
Right.
So that's our plan.
Right.
So, but in the meantime, we still have things to share this week.
That's right.
And that's why we're going to do that. And let me start with showing some of the case numbers and vaccination numbers that we pulled from yesterday. This is as of the 9th in New Mexico, the statewide totals, right? But the vaccination series completed over on the upper right-hand side, 57.1%. State said 60% by end of June. So that's pretty good.
We're getting there.
I think we're going to make it.
Hopefully.
We're going to make it, right?
0.9% left.
But here we are, exactly. So
doing some math over here.
That's it. That's right. So there we are. I don't know if you remember last week when we showed this graphic, and I think, you know, the lower right number, the percentage, a number of New Mexicans 12 to 15 with their vaccination series completed was maybe like 12 or some very low number.
Right.
This week, look, it's 5,717.
That's pretty amazing.
Of those younger kids that have now gotten both of their shots or the one shot of Johnson & Johnson and you know, completed that series. So that's encouraging, right?
That is encouraging.
So
yeah, I was working the vaccination clinic last week.
Yes,
and
you were.
Almost everybody that came in was an adolescent-aged person.
Right. So, there you go.
Different vibe.
There it is. Oh, the Magic Kitchen calendar never wrong. So 65 weeks.
Okay.
Thank you, confirmation.
Yeah,
thank you
yeah.
very much. And by kitchen calendar, she means chisel on the wall.
Yeah, you're just attached to that image.
I like that image. I do. Here we are in San Juan County, the local numbers here for vaccines. Just to share with you again, as of yesterday, at least one shot, San Juan County, keep going, 74%.
Very good.
That's excellent, right? And the percentage of residents with the whole series completed, so we got both shots or the one shot 2 weeks after, good to go, 59.4%.
So close.
We're almost there to that 60%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And of course, there are other counties that are lower number, other counties that are higher in the state, but we're right there at 59.4. We want to be at 60%. We're going to get there. But
right.
We encourage folks to get their vaccine.
Yes.
So, and again, I mentioned it yesterday with my guest from Urgent Care. If you have any questions about the vaccine and as it regards to your personal health, talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we always say.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Okay. Moving along. Vaccine events. We've got a few coming up this week. Again, for 12 and up now is what the vaccine is available for. It is free, of course. No ID or insurance is required in the state. They are giving out the vaccine for free everywhere, of course. Saturday this week at the Farmington Rec Center, which is right next to Ricketts Park, happening 8 to 10.
That's a new site.
It is a new site.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 8 to 10 a.m., they are giving out Johnson & Johnson, the one shot, 18 years and older, Pfizer vaccines for 12 years and older. And you can just show up and get your vaccine, or you can register, like we always tell you, and reserve your dose. But that is one of the upcoming vaccination clinics, and so we want to remind you of some of those in just a moment. But vaccinenm.org is where you can go to register to reserve your dose of the vaccine. And if you have questions, you can call the San Juan County Public Health Office
at 505-327-4461.
There you go. And they will set you up and answer any questions that you might have. And again, some of the other sites that are coming up in addition to the rec center on Saturday, next Tuesday.
We have McGee Park, which is 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. The County Commission Chambers, which is on South Oliver Drive in Aztec, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
On Wednesday.
On Thursday, June 17th, San Juan College HHPC. That's been going on for a long time. That's 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Nope. 11 to 1.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
I mean, you can get in line early at 8. If you want.
Set up a cot. Like
you'll be first.
Going to the Rolling Stones concert.
Yeah, right.
And then Friday, June 18th, Farmington Civic Center, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Right. So there you go. And lots of opportunities to get your vaccine, and so that's important, again, as they continue to work to get our state kind of as much fully vaccinated as we can.
That's right.
And again, that's the way to put this behind us. Other COVID vaccine providers in the county that we want to certainly call out, because they have been working too, and we're going to hear from pharmacist Craig Burgess in just a moment about his work with Pinion Family Pharmacy. They're on that list. In addition to the Farmington Community Health Center, Presbyterian Medical Services, San Juan Regional Medical Center, the hospital, Walmart, Sam's Club, Safeway, Smith's, Care Drug, and Walgreens. So all of these other entities are helping to vaccinate their customers as well.
Right.
And offering the vaccine. So it's available.
Yes.
If you want a vaccine, you should be able to get one.
Yes.
And shouldn't have to wait too long to do that.
Right.
So that's important. So there you go. And when you were at the clinic, you were we should explain why you were there. You weren't like dressed up and giving out shots. You were actually providing entertainment. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Musician.
You're not moonlighting as a
no.
public health aide, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, you have to be a EMT or a nurse to do that.
Right.
Yes. No, I was a musician.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
One of your other talents.
Yep.
Folks may not be aware, although I think they are. But
if they're not, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, how'd it go?
It's fun. You know, when I first started doing it, the vaccine clinics were like booming. I mean,
lots of people.
Tons of people, you know, in line for, you know, a period of time. And so I was playing and people were in line, so they got to hear a lot of songs. recently, I've done it twice recently, and like I said, it's a younger crowd. It's much thinner. I mean, they're still vaccinating like 150 people or so, but it's nothing compared to like 500 that was happening when
at a time
it
that's
first
right.
rolled out.
I understood.
So so yeah, so it's a different vibe.
Right.
You know,
have you changed up your repertoire a little bit because of this different vibe? Are you still doing the best of Megan?
I've added some new stuff each time, but yeah, teenagers are hard to please.
Are they?
They're hard to please.
I'm shocked to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, yeah,
who would have
whatever.
Thought?
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you're just like half, they're like half awake because
right.
it's 11 a.m. And...
But you've got the whole synth sound going, right, with your band and your backup singers and everything else, don't you?
It's, well, yeah. It's very folky.
Oh, okay.
Which is another reason why they're like, this is like the song that my grandpa listens to.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So.
But I'm sure they appreciate
fun.
It.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. The workers, at least, are like, oh, good. We have something going on in the background because
right.
they're used to doing this now for a long time.
They've been doing it for a while. That's true.
Yeah.
So, well, good for you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it's super fun.
I'm sure it's much appreciated.
Super fun.
By folks. And so, do you have any other gigs lined up? Have you been called? Is your phone not ringing?
They pull me in every now and then when they
okay.
get bored. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. Very good. Again, the New Mexico Department of Health reminding everyone about the vaccine being free. It doesn't matter. You can have health insurance, no health insurance, immigration status, no government ID. It doesn't matter. They just want everyone who wants a vaccine to get the vaccine.
Right.
So that is another point. Cases?
Cases.
We can talk about these.
Yeah.
And we had – actually, I was really surprised to see this week in New Mexico the numbers of daily cases is down to under 100 a day.
Right.
And in San Juan County, we're down to under 10 a day.
Right.
And as you can see on the screen, that's reflective of these numbers, right? So only 94 new cases yesterday across New Mexico for a total of 203,823. Only 9 new cases in San Juan County. 15,556, 5 deaths in New Mexico yesterday, unfortunately, and one of those was from San Juan County. So we're now at 484 deaths here in the county and another 101 recoveries in New Mexico from COVID. So glad to see that as well. But those numbers certainly are, we haven't seen under 100 a day in a while.
Right.
And so that's encouraging.
That is encouraging.
And I think that is the vaccine doing its work.
Yes.
I'm not a doctor, but that's my educated opinion.
I think so, yeah.
And so there you go. On the Navajo Nation, again, their numbers have been lower as well, which is great to see. They had 11 new cases across the reservation yesterday and one additional death. There was, I believe it was, that these are numbers from Wednesday. It was Tuesday that there were no new cases and no new deaths across the reservation. They're now at 30,897 and 1,334 deaths across the Navajo Nation, and they are working on some of their reopening plans and things along that line as well. So that's important to
right.
to share. San Juan County Office of Emergency Management, we'll give a shout-out to them. They did update their graphs before our show this week. Yay.
Good.
Usually it happens like at you know,
like right after
10:01.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, that would have been nice to share. But anyway, we have them this week, which is good to see because they do a great job of compiling the averages and showing us graphically how the cases have stacked up in San Juan County in the state of New Mexico. So here's the first graph, and you can see that pink line, of course, is the state of New Mexico. That big peak back in December.
Right.
Glad we're not there anymore. And then, of course, another little surge earlier this year. And then, of course, the case is falling down recently, which is wonderful. You can't really see clearly the San Juan County in blue or the Navajo Nation numbers in green on this graph, but they're certainly lower than the state numbers, which we'd expect them to be.
Right.
And so there they are. But in the state number, or the county numbers, pardon me, on this next graph, kind of see it a lot clearer in the yellow, at least with the numbers. And you can see, I think, pretty clearly that we had about 4 waves so far of infections here in San Juan County. If you take a look, right, if we're looking at the yellow line. So early on in maybe May, you
see
that first
May
of 2020, that first little bump. And then things went down over the summer. We were opening back up. And then, of course, we had the really high peak like the state did in December. And we kind of came back down from that. But then it bumped up again in January and then dropped. And then we had another little bump in must have been May.
Yeah.
You know, and then things are lower again.
Right.
But I think that's fascinating. I mean, to me, it's fascinating. We lived it. We talked about it when it was happening.
We did talk about it when it was happening, yeah.
And but again, the numbers are heading in the right direction, and we think that's the vaccine working.
Right.
And things, the cases aren't spreading, and so that's important as well.
Yes.
So we're glad to share that with everybody and show you what the latest is. And thank you again to the Office of Emergency Management for compiling all that every week and getting it out at least this week in a timely manner that we can share it on the show. A watch list is up again. This is updated every day, of course. And so Citizens Bank with 3 rapid responses this week. Smith's Food and Drug has 2. And Walmart Supercenter has 2. There are no local companies on the closure list. If you recall, Piedra Vista High School was the latest one, and they have dropped off of that list. They were closed for 2 weeks, and so that's right. Gone. So they're done with that.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go.
Ready for our guest?
Let's do it.
Okay. Our first guest has called in on the phone line. Good morning. This is KSJE. Thanks for calling in. Is this Craig Burgess?
It is. How are you doing today?
Hey, we are good. Thank you for calling in and for all the work that you are doing. Oh, that's all right. That's okay. Megan loves talking to me. She loves a small talk.
I mean, we've been doing this for a while, so thanks for calling in, Craig.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I get that. Anyway, we appreciate it. Craig Burgess from Pinion Family Pharmacy, of course. We were talking a little bit about how the local pharmacists have been working along with the state, kind of hand in hand, to help get the vaccines out to more and more people. The last time you were with us, you were talking to us a little bit about some of the work that you were doing, I think, at senior centers and other locations. Can you give us kind of an update on what you've been doing more recently?
Yeah, so most of the vaccines we've been giving just locally at our pharmacy now, and we've really seen a decrease in the demand for vaccines. I think the individuals who have wanted a vaccine have had an opportunity to get it. So, you know, currently we've really seen a decrease in demand from patients of San Juan County. You know, the only maybe uptick is for patients 12 and up, because before, you know, those individuals didn't qualify to get the vaccine, and now they do through Pfizer. So that's kind of the only demographic that we've seen maybe an increase in demand for the vaccine. Most of what we're doing now our second booster shot, and we're seeing very little demand for, primary vaccines here at the pharmacy. We have been going out to a couple businesses and vaccinating, the employees. We went in, held a clinic at PESCO, which was successful. So we still are willing to go out to businesses as long as there's a demand. We went to AutoMax and Malloy Honda. Currently we've just kind of seen a decrease. Fortunately, I think that just means that, those who have wanted the vaccine, like I said, have had the opportunity to get it.
Very good. And what is the protocol, Craig, if I wanted a vaccine? Do I just show up? Do I pre-register?
You can just show up if you want to. It's still best if you register through the state and then give us a call, and we'll put you in the schedule. That just kind of helps with patient flow and kind of decreases the amount of people who come into the store. Of course, if you're not vaccinated and you don't want to come sit next to 15 people waiting for a vaccine. So, we have a scheduling tool that kind of spaces people out throughout the day. But if you want to show up, at the pharmacy, that's not an issue. We can get you registered, whenever you walk into the pharmacy. But it's pretty easy to register online if you want to do that, or to call into the state. If you're not tech savvy, I can give you a 1-800 number and call in, and someone will walk you through that process if you need.
Gotcha. And Craig, are you getting asked questions from folks about the vaccine? Are you able to provide any information to your customers if they're coming in and they're not quite sure, or they're not convinced, or they have questions about it?
Absolutely. I mean, patients ask all the time, what are the pros and cons of getting the vaccine? And, you know, there's definitely pros and cons with Moderna, with Pfizer, with J&J, you know. So, you know, I try to stay neutral in, you know, my personal opinion on whether you should get it or not get it. But I rather just try to give the facts to the individual and let them make a decision. Because ultimately, it should be up to them whether they get the vaccine. Of course, the more people we get vaccinated, the better our numbers have looked in New Mexico. But I still think it should be a personal, a personal choice whether someone gets the vaccine or not.
Sure. And I know you guys are also a drive-through like other pharmacies. Is this I go in, or do you guys do it through the drive-through?
Yeah, we can do it through the drive-through if you wish. What we normally have you do is drive through our drive-up window, give us your name, and some basic information, and then we have you pull into handicap parking spots, which are right out front, and then we walk out and administer the vaccine in the car. That's not an issue for those who might not be willing to come inside for personal reasons, or if they can't walk into the store, it's not an issue for us to come to you.
Right. And Craig, looking down the road a little bit, I mean, do you imagine you're still going to be able to get a supply of vaccine? I know they have a certain amount of shelf life, right? You can't keep them forever to be effective. But for folks who may be thinking, well, I'd like to wait a little longer to see how it goes or see whatever news comes out about them in a month from now, do you still think you'll have vaccines for any of your customers that change their mind and want them at that point in time?
Absolutely. I don't think supply is going to be an issue on COVID vaccines. The suppliers now really can't give them away to pharmacies and to doctor's office because that demand has dropped off so much. I was reading an article yesterday that was talking, the Biden administration just donated 500 million vaccines to, to a large global relief. So I don't think, having supply is ever going to be an issue. Of course, it's a big business for Pfizer and for Moderna and for J&J. So keeping up now with the supply is not going to be an issue.
Understood. And of course, I know maybe the science is still out on this, but in the future, perhaps there could be booster shots for those folks that have gotten the vaccine or thing moving forward. I'm just trying to think about our new, I don't want to say it, but I will, new normal, dealing with COVID, managing COVID. Is that anything you're hearing about from your colleagues?
Yeah, so I think they're going to, so the first individuals who got the vaccine was, June, July of 2020. They tested them at 6 months, so close to December, and it looked like they still had antibodies. So the CDC said, you don't need a booster at 6 months. My guess, and from what I hear, is that they're going to test those individuals again at a year, so here in the next month or two, and then the CDC will make a recommendation whether or not you need a booster as well, at a year. I haven't heard anything if that's going to happen. I did hear J&J is already working on a booster, but as far as the mRNA vaccines go, which is Moderna and Pfizer, we don't know yet if you're going to need a vaccine or a booster every year, or, I know there's a lot of talk around whether, it's going to be an annual thing like a flu shot. I think that's just all talk. I think only time will tell whether you actually need that or not, or if it's even recommended, because who knows what will happen with the science behind treating patients who actually have COVID, of course that can improve. So maybe they won't make a recommendation of getting a booster because they'll have a better understanding of treating it. I don't know. I don't know really what the future holds other than we don't know right now.
Understood. Well, thank you for, or at least trying to look into your crystal ball over there at the pharmacy. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, Craig Burgess, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we always encourage people to stop by just to say hi. You don't have to get a vaccine. So, if you're out and about and you have your dog with you and you just need a dog treat, you're welcome to drive through the drive-up window as well. And and we're happy to give your loved ones a treat through the window.
Look at that.
Wow. That's so, I am not surprised from you, Craig. That makes sense to me.
Right?
Yeah. Nicest guy in town. So, Craig, thank you so much from Pinion Family Pharmacy for joining us and sharing this valuable information with us.
Yeah, you got it. You all have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you very much. He's going to have
you.
A line of dogs out there drive through.
Today is going to be dog day over
but
there.
That's okay. My dog could always use a treat.
So sweet. Yeah, your
and
dog.
Yours,
and
both of our dogs.
That's right.
Yep.
Would love that.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Excellent. So anyway, thank you. Good information.
Good information.
We appreciate it very much. So there you go. We have another guest calling in just a few more minutes. But in the meantime, we want to check in. Your favorite part of the show is reading the Johns Hopkins numbers.
It's a highlight.
Unfortunately, they keep getting larger, but that's where we are.
Yeah. All right. So United States confirmed cases are now at 33,415,062. United States confirmed deaths are now at 598,318. And the cool number that keeps growing is the vaccine doses administered. Look at that number.
Yeah.
304,499,051.
Look at that. And, of course, that corresponds with that green line at the lower right of the graph that we're showing on the screen right now of just how increased that is. But you can kind of see it tapering off a little bit at the top of that green line, which is what Craig Burgess was saying. The demand for vaccines isn't as high as it once was. And you were saying that, too, because you used to play guitar to 500 people. Now it's 150.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. But, again, we can also see as those other – I'm just a graphical person, I guess. I always gyrate to those graphs to see them. Doesn't sound right.
Nope. I don't think that's right. But
I don't
anyway.
Think that's right.
But
I
yes.
Gravitate to the graphs. Maybe I gyrate at home, but
oh
that's a
God.
Different story.
That is a different story.
Yes. Anyway.
What were you going to say?
The daily cases, again, have dropped off significantly. Thank you. And also the number of daily deaths in the white graph have dropped off significantly. So that's good to see.
Yeah. And, to your wave point, the national graphs mirror our county graphs.
Yes.
Like almost exactly.
Pretty close.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. So there you go. I apologize for that image of me gravitating or gyrating to graphs.
Oh, the next caller can't call in soon enough.
Well, keep waiting. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, they'll be here any minute. It's be patient. They're coming.
I'll
they're
be
calling.
Patient.
Okay. They're calling. Good information about rental assistance in New Mexico. So we'll just let him get on the phone.
Okay.
He's going to call.
In the meantime,
you
want to talk about things?
I just did.
Okay. And
gyrations? Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
The yes, lab Megan. Leak theory.
The who what?
The lab leak
yes,
theory.
From Wuhan.
I was thinking about that last night as I was listening
right.
to more updates on this theory.
Right.
And that it's pretty, I don't know if they'll ever know for certain.
Right.
But it seems, they know that it no longer is tied to a natural origin. Like, for a while it was all about the wet markets and the bats.
Right. Do we know that for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then where'd it come from?
Lab leak theory is the leading theory right now.
I see.
Wuhan.
Right.
Right.
But I thought that was, so it's that, that's
I mean,
a theory,
yeah.
But so is the wet market theory, right?
Yeah, but the wet market thing's been tossed out.
Has it really been?
Yeah.
You're sure?
It has. I am. I'm confident. Okay. Yeah. So
well,
the question is the motivation. Ostensibly what they say is that they were manufacturing this that's, it's a novel coronavirus, and we've known that from the beginning.
Correct.
In order to think through treating these viruses.
Right, I guess.
So they don't really know what the motivation is. But, yeah, it's pretty much confirmed that there was some sort of lab accident in some way, shape, or form.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then that's a little disappointing because that came out early on, and I think it was kind of poo-pooed. And,
it was.
And then now it's back. And so I think, unfortunately, for some of the folks who, are just waiting for something to say, well,
this is what happened.
This is what happened. And then everybody said that didn't. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
And
yeah.
Now it has some more
validity.
Life. And yeah, so interesting. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, let's go to our next guest.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Sure.
All right. Our next guest on the phone this morning from the New Mexico Department of Finance and Administration. Good morning. You're on the air. This is KSJE, Mr. Valdez.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're doing well. Thank you for calling back in. You are here with more information about the rental assistance program in our state, correct?
Correct. So the state of New Mexico has a significant amount of funds that we are giving for rental and utility assistance to households experiencing financial hardship due to the COVID-19 outbreak. So this program the ERAP program is specifically for renters. We can pay up to 12 months of back rent and utilities, as well as 3 months into the future. And that's kind of one aspect to the program that I feel isn't resonating as much. So I really want your listeners to know that not in addition to the back rent, we can also pay up to 3 months into the future. So we're really, you know, encouraging people to go to the website, to go to renthelpnm.org, to read the FAQ, to look at the documentation that they'll need, and really encouraging them to apply, because, you know, our default position is to say yes to people. We want to help people. We want to get this money out to New Mexicans, but we really need people to start applying.
Got you. And so you still have all this money available. I imagine it's not going to last forever, and so I would assume folks should be applying sooner than later, because once these funds are gone, they're gone, right?
Correct. And we have some right now we're looking at some guidelines that we have to hit, some dates that the federal government has, and we're we're confident that they're going to be a little more flexible. They've been communicating with states, and a lot of states around the country are doing the same program. But right now we're looking at a September deadline for a certain percentage. So we're really trying to use this summer as the time to help pay people's rent. So that way they can kind of move forward from the pandemic and into a better situation. So again, that website is renthelpnm.org. People can get on there, read the appropriate information that they'll need. And then also we do have a toll-free number. And so I'm gonna give that out now. It's 1-833-485-1334. Again, it's 1-833-485-1334. People can call that number if they have limited internet access and they want to request a paper application. We are accepting paper applications, although it is best if people apply through the digital portal.
Very good. And have you had a lot of demand? What kind of demand's been coming in? A lot of people applying, or?
You know, it's been a relatively steady stream. When we first launched the program, we had a significant amount of people apply, and we had to kind of work through that bit of backlog. But now that we're kind of in the clearing, you know, there's a decent amount, but there's still a lot of money available. You know, this is a big program. It encompasses the entire state, and the city of Albuquerque is in partnered with us. I would like to mention that Bernalillo County and Doniana County are administering their own programs. So, but we have links to their programs on our website, and people could, if they live in that area and they happen to be listening to this broadcast, and they can go to those websites and apply through them. But yeah, I would say, you know, it's been pretty good, but we we could do much better. And I think that's something that I really want to hopefully convey, and that it resonates, is that, you know, part of this is like we're trying to help our fellow New Mexicans, right? So anyone listening, you know, we really encourage you that maybe you don't qualify for the program or you don't need the assistance, but, you know someone that does. It's either friends or family or your neighbor or you know, whatnot. And so it's like, let people know that this is available. If you've heard this segment, you know, please tell people that there is assistance. There's housing assistance in general. We just launched a homeowners program that is like the mirror program of the renter's assistance, and that's kicking off. The pilot program for that's kicking off for 6 months, and so people can apply for back mortgage and utility help through the Mortgage Finance Authority on their website, which is housingnm.org. So homeowners can apply for that. Renters can apply for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. So the state is unveiling a lot of just housing assistance in general.
Good to know. And Mr. Valdez, these are, just to be clear, these are programs that don't need to be paid back. These are grants, not necessarily loans for rental assistance and mortgage assistance. Is that what we're talking about?
Correct. These are 100% no strings attached grants. You know, if you qualify, we for the renter side, we're trying to pay landlords directly. So that way, it's a very streamlined process. People are caught up in rent. They're not at risk of housing displacement or homelessness. And then also it's a win for the landlord. Landlord gets paid. This isn't a loan. This is just money that's available in grants.
Very good. And speaking of landlords, is there assistance for landlords, or is this just something where the landlord needs to tell their renters, do this if you haven't paid me?
So what we need from landlords is we need landlords to submit a W-9, and that can be found on our website. So it's very important. And early on, we didn't have a lot of landlords. They were confused with some of the other programs that had gone on before this. So we didn't really have that, but DFA needs a W-9 from each landlord for the applicant. We will pay applicants directly, but due to the federal guidance, we do need to reach out to the landlord. So it could delay the approval process and the payment process. So obviously it's best if the landlord submits the W-9 and we could just pay them directly. They get their back rent or the future rent, and the tenant gets to stay in their household. And the state can help as many New Mexico families as possible.
Got you. And that's a really important, I think, point to make about, these programs that are really trying to avoid a big homelessness problem. I can't imagine if all these folks, right, who are behind on their rent got all of a sudden kicked out of their apartments or what have you, or these homeowners losing their homes because of being negligent or behind on their mortgages for a couple of months. So, I mean, I think isn't that the bigger picture behind these programs, to try to keep folks in their homes during this uncertain time?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's mission number one, right? It's let's not add to homelessness. Let's not add to people being displaced or having to leave the state. And so that's why, we're really trying to push this money out. I'm doing as many speaking engagements as possible to help get the word out. But we want people to be able to stay in their homes, right? And so if that means we got to pay their rent for a year, which we have, we've paid quite a few applicants. We've paid for a year of rent, as well as having them on the list for the 3 months into the future. So we're trying to not add to that. And we've been in talks with quite a number of nonprofits who are really at the front line of the eviction process. And it's scary when you hear numbers like, in Santa Fe, that they believe that a third of renters in Santa Fe are eligible for eviction. We obviously don't want to displace that many New Mexicans, and the economic repercussions of that could be very severe, and that's something that we really need to avoid. And we have the money, we have the assistance, we have the team, we have the call center. DFA is doing everything we can to get the word out, so we really just are encouraging people to apply. The money's there, and we can help.
Very good. So, Henry Valdez, one more time, how do I apply?
So for renters, please go to renthelpnm.org. Again, that's renthelpnm.org. If you're a homeowner and you're looking for the homeowner mortgage assistance, you can go to MFA's website at housingnm.org, and they have a link there that for the pilot program. The main program won't launch for a few more months, but the pilot program for $1 million is up and running, so we really encourage people to apply for that homeowner assistance fund too.
Very good. Henry Valdez, we always appreciate your time and talking with us about these opportunities for renters and homeowners in New Mexico. And we certainly hope folks will take advantage of these programs if they are in need of them. So thank you for calling in this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thank you very much. That is Henry Valdez. He is with the New Mexico Department of Finance and Administration, our guest here on KSJE. And that is, I think, the program this week. That's what we wanted to share with everybody.
That's the
program. Talking about vaccines and And seeing these numbers coming down, you know, it's great news. And again, it's because of the efforts of a lot of people that this is happening.
Right.
And we're able to kind of, you know, move out of this and kind of see how we're moving out of this. I guess that's the other part of this conversation, right, is, you know, we certainly knew how to deal with lockdown after a couple of weeks. And then their questions were, how do we reopen? And so I think we have a clearer picture of how the state will be reopening. Our hopes are that at the end of June, we'll be able to get rid of the color codes. We're in turquoise. We're now locked into turquoise till the end of June, which is great for local businesses to plan and know what they're going to be facing. And so hopefully summer's going to be certainly a lot better than last summer, for
sure.
That's
right. That's right.
So we're going to be back next week, everyone.
Our last show.
It is the last show is what we have planned. How about that?
End of an era.
Right?
That's how it feels.
Or the start of a new era.
Every new beginning is some other beginning's end.
Wow. Is that on a t-shirt somewhere?
It's a lyric.
It should be. Oh, okay.
Semisonic.
Wow. Closing
time.
Did you sing that at any of the clinics?
We haven't gotten there yet. Okay. Maybe the last clinic I can sing closing time.
There you go.
Would be very sweet.
Very appropriate.
Yeah, it's going to be we have some fun things planned.
We do next week. Yeah. But we're also going to share new information, you know, whatever is going on. We're going to share that next week on our show. And then, of course, maybe a little bit of a retrospective.
Yeah.
Over the last
right.
66
year and a half
weeks
in review, yeah.
Yeah, how about that? But we have appreciated your support, everybody out there who is listening or watching us, and of course, all the folks that are contributing to the program, all the guests. We'll talk more about that next week, but we wouldn't be here without all of you, and we appreciate it. And again, this has been a kind of a labor of love, public service, if you will, because we realized early on that our community wasn't going to get the local information that's out there unless we did something.
Right.
And that's what we've done.
That was the goal.
That's it. So thank you for watching and listening, everybody. Have a great week. We'll be back with you next Thursday live at 9 a.m., of course, on our social media and on the radio at 5:06 p.m. This is KSJE. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.